Apparently, some X-Men fans are just finding out that the X-Men are woke. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for February 28th, 2024. I am your host, Greg Hernandez, the king of inconsistency, doing my second show for the month. You know, most podcasters do a show every week, but fuck that. Why? No, I'm not going to do that. I want to do that, but I mean, if you've been with me for 116 episodes, you guys know better. Come on. Anyway. Yeah, apparently some people are unaware that the X-Men are woke. What does that mean? It means they're fucking stupid. That's what it means. Here's where I'm going with this, folks. For the last few months, 3 to 4 months, I would say, probably longer, I don't know. But there has been this meme on social media, and it's a still frame from the original X-Men animated series back in 1994. And it's Rogue. She is basically on her side, facing away from the camera because there's cameras in animated shows. Apocalypse is right there, and Rogue is sitting. How do I put this? Rogue has some giant mutant superpower ass happening there. She's laying like a Bond girl, kind of on her side, butt propped up toward the viewer. And apparently, I was unaware of this, but apparently this single image jump-started thousands upon thousands of guys into puberty. It must have. Because I have seen this still frame, I don't know how many times. I have lost count of how many times I've seen this specific still frame. And it actually terrifies me to think that Disney Plus, that is probably the most often paused moment in any series ever. That's terrifying. That scares the living shit out of me. But that comes on the heels of Disney Plus announcing that they are relaunching the X-Men animated series with X-Men 97. Now, you would think that every guy who experienced his first chubby to the original series would be out of their mind that they're relaunching the series, right? Oh, hell no. Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. And here's why. More stills from the upcoming series. The upcoming series has not debuted yet, folks. It comes out next month sometime in March. If I was better at my job, I would know exactly what date, but come on, you've been with me for 116 episodes. Next month, they're launching the new X-Men 97 series, and some of the animated stills have already been leaked online, and nerds are pissed. Nerds are pissed that Rogue doesn't have an ass anymore. Like, they're upset that Rogue has actually been drawn to have the figure of Anna Paquin. That's as best as I can describe it. And these nerds are ready to riot. They are ready to lose their shit. And for the last, I'm gonna say conservatively, for the last month, I have seen anger and vitriol toward the new X-Men series because Rogue doesn't have an ass. Guys, Rogue was like 17. In the comics, just like in Bryan Singer's 2000 X-Men movie, Rogue was like 17 when her powers first manifested. So, yeah, that's all kinds of creepy. I'm going to throw an extra layer of creepy on there. Rogue isn't real. Rogue is a fictional animated character, guys. So, Let me frame this properly. You're upset that a fictional animated woman under the age of 18 doesn't have an ass anymore. I'm going to let you meditate on that for a second, okay? Go. And we're done. Yeah, that is all kinds of creepy. And like being the dumb shit that I am, I actually engage with people in social on social media over stupid shit like this. I know I shouldn't. It's shaving years off my life. I get that. It's a very simple rule. Don't feed the trolls. But if you don't fight stupid, stupid thinks it's right. And me being the asshole that I am, my first comment was, guys, hear me out. Hear me out here. Maybe, just maybe, you can try talking to real women who actually exist, IRL, in your own language, and you wouldn't be worried that an animated, fictional, underage woman doesn't have an ass. Just, I'm throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there. That pissed him off. That, oh, it was like I copped a squat in their Cheerios. They were upset, okay? And I start hearing all of this shit about how, well, we're just tired of people messing with our nostalgia and just stop changing things. Stop. Marvel, since it's been associated with Disney, has changed everything. Every single goddamn thing, okay? Wolverine is 5'1". Hugh Jackman is 6'3". Okay? Yeah, that happened. I've actually dove back into a lot of classic comics. I have read Age of Ultron. I have read Days of Future Past. I've read the Dark Phoenix saga. Guess what? Marvel's changed everything. But you're still fans. There's a new Deadpool movie coming out. Deadpool and Wolverine. Okay, the trailer came out Super Bowl Sunday. Don't tell me that you fucking nerds aren't gonna throw down fistfuls of money to go see that, even though Disney has changed everything they've put out with Marvel, okay? I'm afraid for a lot of the OnlyFans models, because a lot of that money in July that usually goes to OnlyFans is gonna go to Deadpool and Wolverine. I swear to God, if OnlyFans was a publicly traded company, you would watch the stock just fucking drop that weekend. Because you fuckers cannot help yourselves. You are just going to give Marvel and Disney every dollar you have, despite the fact that they've changed everything, okay? And this isn't a new thing. Like I said before, Bryan Singer did the original X-Men movie in 2000. That movie's 24 years old. And in the movie, they stated that Cyclops, Storm, and Jean Grey were Xavier's original X-Men. No, they weren't. Original X-Men were Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Angel, Iceman. Those were the five originals, okay? But you walked into the theater because there was an X-Men live-action movie, and you guys lost your shit. But guess what? Sony changed it, and you didn't give a shit. So don't tell me that you're upset because taking away Rogue's ass is somehow changing everything. Go fuck yourself. Shut up, dipshit. And then there's this one. This is my favorite one. Marvel went woke. Disney went woke. The X-Men went woke. Are you new here? I'm sorry. If you just got to the party, I'm going to give you a few months to catch up, okay? But the X-Men have always been woke, you dumbass. That's a thing. The X-Men were created in 1963, and they were an analogy. They were a metaphor for the civil rights movement, okay? So what that means is when the X-Men were created in 1963... or the mid-1900s, as some of you Gen Z cupcakes love to call it, when the X-Men were created, in this country, black people were fighting for equal rights. So Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created the X-Men, a group of mutants who were fighting for equal rights. Does that sound like a coincidence? Do you think maybe Stan and Jack did that on purpose. I'm thinking they did. I mean, Stan and Jack are both dead now, so you can't really ask them without using a Ouija board. But no, I'm thinking that's where they were going with that. And ever since the X-Men's creation in the mid-1900s, there you go, cupcakes. There you go. I hope you're feeling seen. Ever since the X-Men's creation, the X-Men have embodied minorities. They have embodied the LGBTQ plus society. They have embodied everybody, every group that has ever been discriminated against or marginalized. That's what the X-Men, that's what they stood for. And the X-Men did not shy away from the hatred and bigotry that mutants got just for being different, okay? As a matter of fact, like I said, I'm revisiting the original animated series from 1994, and you have this group called the Friends of Humanity, and it's basically a bunch of meathead, thick-neck, white dudes with red hats on. Sound familiar? Even the Simpsons didn't see that shit coming, okay? That's a thing. You can go back and watch it. It's on Disney Plus, all right? You just have these meat-headed, thick-neck, white dudes, mostly blonde, ironic, wearing red hats, protesting against this group of people just because they're different. You cannot tell me that was not done on purpose. I'm not saying that the animated series predicted the existence of the Mogatards. I'm saying there's always a group protesting against other people just because they're different. Okay? There is, in the X-Men comic, there is an issue where you have Nightcrawler, who's kind of cowering in the corner, and you have this silver-haired white guy who looks like Mike Pence and Leslie Nielsen had a kid, and he's pointing at Nightcrawler and basically saying he should not be allowed to exist because he looks different. The X-Men were woke before you knew what the fuck woke was. Don't even start with that bullshit. The X-Men went woke, and that's why Rogue doesn't have an ass anymore. Fuck you. Now, I feel this rant getting away from me, so I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Let me clarify this before this gets taken the wrong way. I'm not saying nerds. I'm not calling people nerds in a negative way. You're listening to the goddamn Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast. So clearly, when I call you nerds, it's done with love. It is. Okay. But there is a small percentage of you, maybe less than 2%, that piss me the fuck off, all right? And here's why they piss me off. For you other 98%, you guys are cool, love you. This 2% will get angry over this kind of stupid shit and then try to bullshit you and justify what they're saying so that they don't come across as ignorant. See, because if they just came out and flat out said, I don't like the new X-Men series because Rogue doesn't have an ass, they realize they sound like a potential sex offender. So they're gonna try to do their bullshit, like their dipshit Aikido, and try to, you know, you're going this way, they try to maneuver that way, and try to tell you, well, I don't like it because it's woke. And that's the new key phrase now. That's the new keyword. That's the new dog whistle. Anything a dipshit doesn't like, they just throw the word woke out there, not realizing, in this case, the X-Men have been woke since 1963. Sorry, the mid-1900s. Sorry. And it's not just the X-Men. It's not. If it was just the X-Men and I'm losing my shit this much, I have problems. I do. And I'm not going to say I don't have problems. I have a therapist that will attest to that. But these are the same people that call in to Tom Morello's radio show, Tom Morello being the guitar player for Rage Against the Machine. And he's talked about these. Tom Morello has talked about all the people that have called into his show or emailed his show or seen him at live events and said, you know, I used to be a really big fan of Rage Against the Machine, but you guys got too political. I'm sorry, what? Rage Against the Machine got too political? What machine did you think they were raging against, you fucktard? It's in the title, Rage Against the Machine. This is the same breed of moron. It is. You're complaining about something that's been there since the beginning, but you weren't smart enough to pick up on it until 20 years later, okay? In this case, 30 years later, Rage Against the Machine's first album came out in 1992. Now, do me a favor and take a listen to this. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Now, as any Rage Against the Machine fan knows, that is a song called Killing in the Name of, and it's about police brutality. You can hear Zach De La Rocha saying it right there. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Zach De La Rocha was saying in 1992 what Colin Kaepernick lost his job for saying in 2018. Tell me, how is that not political? Oh, not convinced? Cool. No, it's cool. I got more audio clips. Hold on. Just praying I don't get sued for this. So right there, Zach De La Rocha is saying, for those who died, they're justified. For wearing the badge, they're the chosen whites. And this is my interpretation of that, is when you hear about a police officer dying, nobody questions his intent, okay? Nobody questions whether he was a good officer or a bad officer. They just say, well, that police officer died, so we need to hold him up to some high esteem. But if a cop kills somebody, more specifically someone of color, you just assume that person was doing something wrong. You never question the intention or the integrity of the police officer. You just automatically assume whoever got killed by the police officer was guilty. A shining example of this would be the George Floyd case, where I don't even know the officer's name. Again, I'm not very good at my job. But George Floyd is arrested for whatever reason. I don't know the charge. Don't care. It's not the point. He's arrested, he's put on the ground, cuffed behind his back, and the police officer kneeled on his back and on his neck for 9 minutes. The video's out there. The cell phone video's out there. This cop knelt on George Floyd's neck and his back for 9 minutes, putting his hands in his pocket, and George Floyd died because of that. Now, I'm not here to argue with anybody on the right or wrong side of that. That's not the point. The point is Zach De La Rocha was talking about this back in 1992, and there's some dip fucks out there who think that Rage Against the Machine just now got political. And I feel like this needs to be said, otherwise this is going to piss some people off. Nor am I saying all cops are corrupt, all police are corrupt. I'm not saying that. The police could be, you know, like the nerds I love. 98% of them are great. 2% are gaping dickholes. But unfortunately, that 2% gets all the press. I don't know. I'm just saying, not the point here. To quote Aristotle once said, it's the mark of an educated mind to entertain a concept without embracing it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not labeling all cops dirty. I'm just saying this is what Zach De La Rocha said in 1992. I'm treating his point of view with the respect I think it deserves. But again, there are some dipshits that thought Rage Against the Machine just now got political. And I think I know why. I really think I know why, because check out the end of this song. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Can you not picture future MAGAtards and Proud Boys and right-wing dipshits when they're in high school just loving to scream out, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. And they're screaming it at the top of their lungs. And at no point did they ever read an interview with Zach De La Rocha. I guess I could have stopped that interview at no point did they ever read. But at no point did they ever read an interview with Zach De La Rocha where he explained what the song was about. All right? Can you not? And then it's not like Rage just stopped writing stuff like that in 1992. We're going to go ahead and smash cut to 1996. Didn't catch that? Okay, let's do it again. Rolling down Rodeo with a shotgun. These people ain't seen a brown-skinned man since their grandparents bought one. Ouch. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that song's about racism. Just off top of my head, I'm just saying. But my whole point here, besides making excuses to play Rage Against the Machine clips, my whole point here is Rage Against the Machine didn't just get political. Okay, if we're talking about wokeness and everybody's going woke. No. It's been there the whole time. All right. Rage Against the Machine, as I said before, they were woke. They were political 30 years ago. It's not their fault. You were too stupid to catch it. All right. And the last one here, this one's just funny to me. I was on social media and I follow this Star Trek page on Facebook. Of course I do. And there was, it's asking something. Oh God, I can't remember what the question was. Like, which do you prefer, this or this? Something like that. And I went to comment, and Facebook is doing this thing now where no matter how long you follow the page, if you want to comment, you have to go take their quizzes to make sure you're not a bot. To make sure you're not a robot. Because, you know, Skynet's going to be invading the Facebook Star Trek page. So, to prove I'm a human being, I have to answer these, like, three questions. And one of the questions was about the upcoming presidential election. And I put my phone down. And I went, who is the ignorant slapnuts who decided to inject politics into Star Trek? Again, just like the X-Men, if you're new to the Star Trek party, I'm going to give you a few months. You know what? No, I'll give you a few years. X-Men and Star Trek, I'll give you a few years to catch up. Okay? But here's the cliff notes. Star Trek was started by Gene Roddenberry. And Roddenberry was the least political person on the earth. Here's what I mean. Star Trek was started in 1966, again, right in the middle of the civil rights movement. Gene Roddenberry envisioned a future where we put our petty differences behind us. It was no longer about skin color. It was no longer about religion. It was no longer about political affiliation. It was human beings coming together to advance us as a species, as a people, and we would all benefit if we all worked together. That was Roddenberry's vision. And you have some absolute botard who started a Facebook page, Star Trek Facebook page, and wants to ask me about my political affiliation in order to comment. I want to find out who this was, and I want to Ray Finkel him right in the nuts. Because I know it's a dude. It's got to be a dude. This is the kind of shit you don't see from fangirls. You just don't. Not in my experience. But I want to kick this guy in the nuts so fucking hard. because for those of you who know your Star Trek history, of the top five bridge officers on the original Enterprise, four of them are minorities. Think about that for a second. All right. From the top, Captain James T. Kirk, good-looking white male because it's the 60s and it's on CBS, of course, it's going to be a fucking white male captaining the ship. But immediately after that, you have an alien from another planet, Spock, and then your next three after, I don't know what order they fall into, you have Sulu, a man from a Japanese background, you have Chekhov, a man from a Russian background, and then you have Nichelle Nichols, a black woman. So, as I said, your top five bridge officers, 80% of them are minorities. And I know my Star Trek fans out there are like, well, Greg, what about Scotty? What about Scotty? Scotty was never on the fucking bridge. How often did you see him on the bridge? And if we're being honest, Scotty had a drinking problem. Come on. Anytime you didn't see Scotty in engineering, you saw him with a drink in his hand. It's fucking Scottish. It's in his DNA. I don't think it's a stretch to imagine Scotty was no stranger to a wee nip of the creature. So, yeah, you don't let that guy drive the boat. No, fuck that. And if we're further arguing how woke Star Trek was, all the security officers were white guys. All the security officers were white guys. And what happened every time they beamed down to the planet? Dead. Yeah. And they didn't even bother giving these assholes names. And they always had the same line, too. Captain, I found something. Ah! And yeah, gone. But you never saw Sulu or Chekhov or Uhura in trouble, did you? No. Don't fucking tell me that show wasn't woke. Star Trek was the first time on network television there was an interracial kiss. William Shatner and Nichelle Nichols exchanged a kiss on screen that made the network censors shit their pants. Because obviously Shatner's is a white guy, Nichelle Nichols a beautiful black woman, and these two cannot kiss on camera. That, no, it's 1966, this cannot be done. And Roddenberry said, fuck you, it's happening. And the censors said, fuck you, we'll cancel you. And they were going to cancel Star Trek if Shatner kissed Nichelle Nichols. And so Roddenberry, you know, said, fine, fuck, whatever. You know, he didn't have the cards. Sorry, he couldn't bluff his way out of this one. So Shatner saved it. And I love this story. I absolutely love this story. Shatner was through a fit because they told him, they said, the kiss isn't happening. This kiss is not, no, censors won't pat. They won't, the network will not green light it. And Shatner threw a fit. He said, my character should not shy away from kissing this beautiful woman because he's Captain Kirk, for fuck's sake. Okay. All Kirk ever cared about was burying his captain's log. Come on. It's fucking Kirk. And Kirk flat out, I mean, Shatner, he's fucking Kirk. But Shatner flat out said, my character should not shy away from kissing this woman. And Nichelle Nichols was down. She was, you know, like, fine, let's just fucking shoot it. So what they did was they shot the kiss and they shot another take where they went to kiss and then all of a sudden, like, they turned away from each other and the camera is right in Shatner's face. And so they're moving in for the kiss and they both turn their heads and they it's supposed to be like just an embrace, just a hug. And Shatner looked up at the camera and crossed his eyes and fucked up the take. He intentionally ruined the take so that in editing, they had to use the kiss in the episode. So it wasn't like Shatner was like this trailblazing, you know, progressive thinking human being. No, Shatner said Kirk should get laid like that. That's it. And that historically was, this is the nerdiest piece of history I've ever dove into, but it's true. I've heard this. I've heard the interview from both Shatner and Nichelle Nichols. But Star Trek was the first interracial kiss on network television. And since then, Star Trek has never hesitated to take on topics like equality and sexuality and and just gender in general. I mean, there were episodes. There's an episode in Star Trek Next Generation I love where the Enterprise is helping out this planet that doesn't have gender. All of its inhabitants are the same gender. But there is this like 0.001% that are born that feel different from the rest of the population and lean toward a gender. How is that not the gender identity topics of today? How is that not? At the time, it was meant to address sexuality and things like gay marriage, things like that. But when you have the gender spectrum that we're seeing today, where somebody who's born one gender identifies with the other, how is this not something Star Trek tackled back in fucking 1993 when I was watching this episode? What this always comes down to is art imitates life. You can't help it. Okay, that's where art comes from. It comes from real life. So whether it's Star Trek, whether it's Rage Against the Machine, whether it's X-Men, comics in general, art will always imitate life. So the things we were seeing on screen 30 years ago, it's been that way. Those issues have always been there. So for all you nitwit dipfucks who are saying, I'm tired that everything went woke. No. It didn't go woke. Your dumbass has been asleep this whole time. All right? So fuck off. Anyway, you always want to end your show on a fuck off. You really do. So that's the show for today. I am Greg Hernandez, the Ninja Nerd Warrior. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever you're calling it. I don't give a shit. It's Twitter, but now it identifies as X. Anyway, Instagram, YouTube, or TikTok. If you like this show, God bless you for sitting through it. You have no idea how many times I edited this the last 32 minutes. I cut a lot of shit out. But if you love the show, God bless you. If you know somebody else who'd like this show, go ahead and hit that share button and send it to them. Or you can find it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. I almost said Amazon Prime. Not yet. I'm not there yet. But Amazon Music. So that's it, folks. And if my schedule holds up, I'll see you like in another 3 weeks. All right? Bye-bye. Hey!